Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is your new home for all the audio that matters to you. Download the Odyssey app today to listen to WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC James coming up. Mark in West Hartford. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Todd. Hey, I'm here as I hung in there. I thought it was going to be a quick interview. I'd rather be plucking hair out of my nose and ears than hear that again.
Stop.
What was that? How could he possibly just utter the words that Ned Lamont did a decent job? And then to commence them as clearness? I could tell when you snickered. I know what you were feeling inside. And you're really kind. You're really kind when you're interviewing people. But he's out of his mind. The only thing I was thinking was, is he already trying to be her Max Reese? Is he trying to gun for a position already?
Oh, well, look, that's possible. But I thought what was interesting about the interview was how Av was assessing the governor. And because there's not any talk in the state, and a particular story that he was responding to was reviewing the governor's chances for reelection and acting like it was all smooth sailing. And Av is presenting an alternative point of view, which to me was the important part of the interview.
I know.
He can say nice things about his friends. I'm fine with that.
I got it. But for those of us who are just sick and tired of these people, it really gets frustrating. And I know usually you ask for examples. And, you know, if he ever comes on again and says, just say, give me two. How about we'll make it reasonable? Give me two examples that Ned does a good job. Give me two examples where Themis did anything productive for Connecticut. And as far as guilt by association,
yeah,
we could use all the analogies in the world. If I run a methadone clinic, but my spouse is out in the street dealing drugs. You can't have it both ways. I'm sorry. You cannot be associated with the very thing that you're fighting against.
Mark, I got to hold you right there. I'm sorry. 860-522-9842.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
How many 13-year-olds have a regular spot on a big-time radio program like this one? I think there's only one. And how many 13-year-olds have their own intro like that one? It's only James, the great seventh grader who contributes on a regular basis every Friday at this time to our show. James, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on the show today, Todd. Today I wanted to talk about why Biden's infrastructure plan and the Republicans' plan, for that matter, are going to hurt the American economy as a whole. Because even if you ignore the tax hikes that both are going to entail, look at the spending they're adding. Our national debt is already at $28 trillion. That is $7 trillion bigger than our GDP. So we have more debt than our entire economy. Now, under Biden's plan, we can be adding over $2 trillion to that debt. And under the Republican plan, over $600 billion. So that means that either way we go, we're going to be making our debt worse, which will destabilize the American dollar, because it will only make the backing for it weaker, because that means if any of the countries that have invested in us call on their debt, we can't do anything about it. So that can hurt the American dollar, and we're spending more, which means that we're going to end up raising taxes. And this is where the big divide between the Republican and the Democrat bill goes. The Democrat plan is to raise corporate income tax, which will put more strains on our American companies, mm-hmm. which means that they won't be raising wages and they won't be cutting back on certain things, which will hurt the American economy. They won't be investing as much. And the Republican plan is to raise gas taxes and raise user fees, which means the middle class will be directly hit. And because the middle class is the most likely to spend their income, that is money that's not going directly back into the economy, once again, hurting our businesses.
So, James, the thing that bothers me about, well, there's a lot of things, obviously, that are bothersome about this kind of squandering of wealth that doesn't exist. I think foremost among it is if you're going to raise taxes in order to take more money from corporations or from individuals, what you're doing is taking money out of the economy. You're making the economy weaker. And if you're going to do that, at least you should be paying down the debt, not acquiring new debt, not using that money to pay down a portion of the excess spending that you're proposing. How about just making us healthier, as you're suggesting, by making us less vulnerable, by making us stronger, by paying down debt?
My thought, well, and there, one, I also dislike exactly what they're spending it on. The Democrats are spending on things that aren't even considered, they're not even considered, what's it called?
Infrastructure, yes. It's a ruse.
Right. And the Republican plan, I would actually make the argument that the Republican plan might be worse because the way they're trying to fund it. They're trying to fund it through raising user fees and raising gas taxes, which directly affects the middle class. And because the middle class is most likely to spend more of their income, that's money that's not going into the economy directly, which is going to hurt us. It's going to hurt everybody. Nobody wins there.
Yes. Well, I think that's true across the board with all of this stuff. Just make government behave the way it's supposed to. Stop transferring wealth out of the hands of the American people and their businesses and leave it there where it can generate wealth. And you do that by having a leaner, meaner government. Well, if you were going to, this is kind of left field, so I don't know if you're ready for this, James. I'm looking to see how you do for something you're totally unprepared for.
But, go for it.
But what would you, if you were going to cut line items from the federal government budget, what would you go after?
Roads. Police and roads. That's the big thing. I think we should privatize a lot of our roads, right? Because if we were privatizing our roads, that's money that's not going towards something we have to maintain. And now that they're privatized, the companies will be doing it. It's not as inefficient because the companies will actually be held responsible, and it's not like we'll be paying more because we're not paying the taxes, so the tolls versus taxes thing is okay. I think another thing we should cut back on is our military spending. We are spending the most in the entire world.
Well, not even close. What is it? The next several countries don't equal our budget.
Right, and I think a lot of our things are just so overbloated and inefficient. This one's going to be controversial, but I would also say that some of our police management can be problematic because we are spending so much on training that's not being taught correctly. And we have all this bureaucracy. I would cut almost all those boards. The EPA wouldn't exist if I had the control over that because that's just overbloated and doing nothing. I think all federal education management should go away because it's redundant. It's not doing anything. And we're spending money on these things that aren't helping anybody. Nobody's going anywhere.
James, you are on a tear this week. Did you have a bad week?
No, I did not.
You see, you're all ornery, and I love it. This is exactly, I love your agenda. I would stop with the military thing. The military, people like automatic support for all increased military spending. And I understand the emotion because it's based in the idea that we should have a strong military and we should maintain it. But my point is, especially to conservatives who object to endless increases in spending in other things, why do we think that spending suddenly equates quality when it comes to military spending, given that we know human nature, if you're giving close to $1 trillion a year to any one organization, that and they can count on that money coming because of the sympathies that the American people have for what they do and for the necessity of what they do. How do you create any downward pressure on spending, and how do you force efficiencies?
Well, I don't think you can force efficiency in any other way than cutting spending. But I think the defense for increasing spending is that military is inherently supposed to be a very robust system. You're supposed to have a lot of defense, a lot of ready offense. You're supposed to have so much of it that it's everywhere. You're supposed to protect everything. That's the argument. But like you said, right, it's becoming inefficient. We're giving them so much money, they're just wasting a lot of it.
Of course they are. That's what everybody who gets government money is expert at doing. And as we look at the history since World War II of engagement, post-World War II, of military engagement, we see a lot of, what is the expression? They're always fighting the last war. Well, that's a critique of big government bureaucracies. That's what they do. They always get it wrong.
Well, I think the government always creates problems. They take a problem that might exist. They might find an actual problem.
Yeah, so it's probably one they created, yes, but go on.
Right, and then they make it worse. I can think of two perfect examples. There's pollution. And then there's pollution, and then there's drugs, right? The government made pollution worse because rather than incentivizing companies to be cleaner, they're simply just forcing them to do things out of their will. So now we're polluting at quite similar rates. It's not like pollution went away, but now the companies are just spending more.
Like you're forcing them to do what types of things you're referring to? Then we have to wrap up.
We're forcing them to have all these filters on their factories. We're forcing them to have all these filters on their vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're spending all of this. And then to make sure that those things are still running at the same efficiency, they're spending extra just to get to the same performance mark. We're not solving any problems. We're not incentivizing them to make things like nuclear or hydro plants. We're just having them make the same thing worse.
James, you rock.
Thank you, Todd.
Well, yes.
And then with drugs, right? When you
let's save the drugs for another time. We should do a whole topic on drugs.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
All
right, thank you, Todd.
James, thank you so much. Great to hear from you. Great to hear you so passionate and focused. Man, that kid, nobody comes on the air better prepared than James. It's quite remarkable. Here's your weather forecast. Tonight, 49 degrees. Don't laugh. Not even you, Anthony. You could take lessons from young James. I know you think he's funny because you think he doesn't have a life. He can't have a life because he knows all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's not true. He does. He plays more hours of video games probably than you do.
He might. He probably does, yeah.
860-522-9842. Rant Line is waiting for your call at 860-751-4698. Now, I've got a sound cut I want to play for you of Martin Looney. He is the senator from New Haven, who's been in the Senate for 40 years, Democrat, big leftist. I don't know what you can call him, communist, socialist, anti-American, it's all the same thing. And a Democrat, it's all the same thing. But there's a story, I started off the show talking about stories in the paper today. You can just read the stories and you see all the problems and all the lies and all the misrepresentations and the contradictions. So this story is on coronavirus in Connecticut. It's in the Connecticut section of the Hartford Courant. Page one, top of the fold, top of the page. Lamont's pandemic powers extended. This is a couple days old, but it's in today's paper because of the delays, of course. The state Senate voted late Wednesday to grant final legislative approval for another extension of Governor Ned Lamont's emergency powers to combat the coronavirus pandemic that will continue his authority through July 20th. Now, the interesting part of this story is that Senator John Kissel, an Enfield Republican, said he sees no reason why Lamont's powers need to be extended for another 60 days, adding that the state needs to return to three equal branches of government that would include more power than the legislature has exercised for the past 14 months. I'd like to believe that we're not just a rubber stamp, Kissel said. I think we've weathered the worst of the storm. I don't think it's necessary at this point in time, he said, about the idea of extending the governor's powers, which, of course, were extended. And this is all part of a plan and a plot that they've been pursuing for months. In unusual questioning, this is the part I wanted to focus you on. In unusual questioning of the chamber's top lawmaker, that is Martin Looney, in unusual questioning of the chamber's top lawmaker, Senator Eric Berthel, a Watertown Republican, asked Senate President Pro Tem Martin Looney on the Senate floor to explain why the two-month extension was needed. Now, why would the questioning of the lead communist in the state Senate, why would the questioning of him be unusual, the direct questioning? They should be doing this all day, every day, interrogating these people on the destruction of the state. So Looney's answer is the stunning part of this. Again, Looney is asked, why in the world, when the CDC is issuing new guidance saying you don't have to wear masks anymore, when everybody can feel the emergency rushing away, which has been happening over a period of months, and they've already artificially extended it to try to coordinate with the Biden administration so that it would all appear to be very methodical. It's all very orchestrated. It's all very coordinated. The president even spoke without his mask for the first time yesterday. And you get to see how they've planned this moment where they wanted to have a turning point that could be declared publicly in a coordinated way nationwide and from the White House that, okay, the turning point has been found. Now let's hear what Martin Looney had to say. We have a nice little sound cut here of what his reaction to this idea was, that somehow the pandemic is no longer top concern.
We differ on our premises here. I think you are somewhat more optimistic than the sentiment in this emergency certified bill reflects. I think we still are in a dangerous pandemic. I hear from my constituents, I have many constituents in New Haven who are medical practitioners or medical researchers or public health researchers or activists associated with Yale University, who are very reluctant to see the broad-scale reopening occur that's going to occur next week. They think it's too soon. They think that to be absolutely safe, we should have more restrictions lasting longer. So there is, I think, a difference of opinion. They said, for instance, their view is we shouldn't really do anything until we reach the point of the low level of cases that we saw in late July and last August last year as the first wave petered out before the second
wave
began,
if
you recall at that time.
So that's Martin Looney saying that it's irresponsible of the government, in his opinion, to reduce the restrictions in any way, and there should be stricter restrictions. And this is his justification for extending the governor's emergency powers. Now, obviously, that's a total lie. And obviously he doesn't believe that because he hasn't been waging any campaign to make sure that we crack down. I haven't heard his objections to the president's remarks. I haven't heard him going after the governor. And this is the most powerful Democrat in the state, Martin Looney is. 860-522-9842. We'll talk more about it.
This is Connecticut's news station, WTIC News Talk 1080. Depend on it.
Good afternoon. WTIC Todd with you. I don't know if it's me or I just keep reading over and over again today's Hartford newspaper. It's just funny. It's sad. It's tragic. And the thing that's tragic is being conned by the people who are holding elected positions. And apparently they think this is the way to manage government effectively. Because people are dumb, they think. That's the only conclusion I can come to. They think people are so dumb. So there's this raise for nursing home workers. The governor trying to present it as him being hard-nosed and leveraging them. But he gave a an ultimatum on Monday. They had to take his deal. They didn't take his deal. They were going to go out on strike today. And instead, he ran in there and gave them a huge increase, a $200 million raise, it looks like, from $12 an hour to $20 an hour. The union is happy with it. And the Nursing Home Association is happy with it. How, can somebody tell me how that's possible? How is it possible for the SEIU to be happy with what the governor did and the Nursing Home Owners Association being happy? And what pops into my mind is they're both happy because it's a huge increase that they don't have to pay. There's obviously it's good for the union because they're getting that means more union dues for the special interests. But over on the other side, the nursing homes, which are strapped for cash, well, it's good for them because suddenly it's going to be able easier to hire people, and the money's coming. The money's coming apparently from you, from your tax dollars. Doesn't that make you feel proud? Doesn't that make you feel good? Hey, we've got the rant line coming up in about a half hour. 860-751-4698. Any of this get you going a little bit? Get you riled up? It's so gross to me. So gross to me.
So should I not move here?
You already did. It's too late. Anyway, Pennsylvania's not much better off, I don't think.
Yeah, it's not too different.
This is how democratic states are run. The idea is you pay for them growing their business. Their business is big government. Big government allows them to transfer funds, to just have endless amounts of money to transfer to their voters. And it's never been more stark and obvious than right now because they keep coming for more money, even as they're spending more than ever before and driving us deeper into debt. And they don't want to address the debt. They just want to keep increasing the spending.
Follow us on Twitter at WTIC 1080.
Yeah, baby. Nice summery weekend is here. 860-522-9842. Brian calling from Tolland. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Todd. Calling about your comment that the Democratic business model is to give stuff to their voters.
Yes.
I think that's not quite right. If you look at who actually gets the benefits of Connecticut government, it's the Connecticut public employees. Everybody else gets lip service. But
well, either way, lip service, if the lip service fools them, that lip service is coming with some sort of favors, some sort of diversion of funds. For example, you can say yes, and I say it all the time, that minority voters get the shaft from their relationship with the Democrats. At the same time, cities are unduly supported by statewide taxpayers. So both things are going on at the same time. Does that respond to what you're saying?
Well, yes and no. It's true that the cities get a whole lot of money from the suburbs, and they're looking for ways to get it more, but that's for the benefit of the public employees in the cities, not for the benefit of the people who live in the cities.
How can you separate those out? Because that's part of the stuff that holds it all together. So if you didn't have that money going for those union workers in the cities, it's a good point that you're making, but that's still holding this whole perception that Democrats care about their poor voters even as they fail to advance their agendas in any meaningful way.
Oh, yeah, they're big on lip service for that, but look at what they do with the actual money. More than half of the budget goes to public employees in terms of pay, benefits, and retirement, and that is uncontrollable by any political means.
Yes.
When they get the some discretionary money, what do they use it for? They use it for stupid feel-good symbols like subsidies for solar energy instead of doing something to actually provide services for disabled people or poor people or unemployed people.
Well, I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I assume that there are gobs of money spent on all of those items that you just mentioned. But there are other things, like there are private sector unions. There is a huge amount of emphasis on doing infrastructure projects. That spends tons of money. And who does that satisfy but union workers in the construction industry? So they do have different constituencies. It isn't all state workers, but certainly state workers have the fact that they are unionized has devastated the state. I don't dispute that with you.
Well, again, they talk a lot about infrastructure, but what big infrastructure projects have there been in the last 10 years?
Well, that's true.
The one I can think of is the bus highway, and that was paid for with federal money, not state money.
Yeah, well, that's all part of the scam, so it's complicated. But you're making a good point, Brian. Anything else you wanted to say about it?
No, that's it.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. 860-522-9842. This is a really important point that Brian is making, and that is that the Democrats don't really have any loyalty to anybody except to their number one election rigging scheme. And that is the public sector unions. That is a beautiful election rigging scheme. It is the most malicious thing ever done to the country. And it continues to destroy, even as Democrats work harder to give more to those unions all the time. It's so gross. It's hard to fathom. It's hard to understand how people can be so conned by a political party, as the people of this state have been hustled by the, this whole relationship. It's unbelievable what this party has done to the state. The Democrats have absolutely decimated the state, and they continue to want only more decimation. They want more of the badness to continue to rain down upon the state. There is a... I think this was yesterday in the CT Mirror. Senate Democrats vote to strengthen hand of public unions. The bill is a counterweight to the Supreme Court opinion issued 3 years ago in Janus. The Janus case weakened the power of unions to do their destruction, which was a beautiful thing. And the Democrats in the state are trying to strengthen the hand of those unions. The public sector unions hold the state in a devastating position of financial ruin. And what the Democrats are doing is enhancing their power. It's unreal. It's unreal how anybody could not be just using all their energy in government to try to undo this. Senate Democrats rallied Thursday behind a bill intended to help public sector unions maintain or grow their power in the wake of the Janus decision, which was a great union decision weakening the ability of unions to rig elections. Let's talk about it. Do you like what the unions have done to the state? Do you want them doing more of it? Greg is next on WTIC. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you for the call, and thank you for whatever that creature is making the delightful sounds in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's my daughter.
Okay, cool. How old is she?
She's 2 years old.
That's great. It's I don't know, there's just something joyous about whatever sound a two-year-old is making, they don't intend it to be in any way pleasant. It's just fun to hear a two-year-old. So what's on your mind?
Well, I heard you guys talking about the unions with the state and how they have, you know, done damage to the state. And they have. I agree with you on that point. However, the state also borrowed against, you know, the unions and pension funds to use for things they probably shouldn't have.
Sure.
So, you know, as a union, I guess, employee, you could say, you know, the state owes us, you know, we don't owe the state. It kind of comes off, you know, I understand how you may not like unions. I do agree with the fact that they have gone the wrong way politically.
No. That's not my point. That's not my point at all. My point is that they are structurally inappropriate. They are transferring power. For a public sector union to exist, what that is, well, that's the power structure saying, we want to be able to give everything we can possibly give to this special interest group so we can get their votes and support and donations.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we're going to turn power over to a special interest group. We're going to create a legal mechanism by which the power that the people have given us to run the state, we're going to turn it over to this third party called a union and let them devastate us. And then we can just point fingers and say, oh, we didn't do it. It's in the collective bargaining agreement. Nothing I can do.
Yeah, understandable. I agree with you there. Yes, the contracts that have been signed by both union and state are ridiculous. We went through a vote, I think it was about 7 years ago, for a new contract for medical benefits and all sorts of stuff for preventative health care, and it was supposed to save the state millions of dollars, and I'm pretty sure the numbers ended up costing the state 10 to 15 million more than they anticipated.
And what's your point?
That I agree with you that the bargaining between the state and the unions, it has destroyed the state. It's not necessarily the unions.
It's the fault of the existence of the unions. And that's my point too. I mean, the unions should know better because ultimately they've gotten so much that they've put you guys in jeopardy where you might not get everything you've been promised.
I absolutely agree. The leadership of the union has been horrible. It's been horrible. They've allowed themselves to be bought and bargained with to the point where the people who have joined the union doing certain jobs thinking that, you know, okay, I'm going to do this job, and I've been told by the union, yes, you know, we take a fee from you and it benefits you, and then they turn around and take that fee for their own interest.
That's how it works, and they make donations to political campaigns of the party that gives them all that money they don't deserve, and that's a rigged system. That's an anti-democratic system. That's an anti-American system that is owned and operated by the Democratic Party, and they keep... So this story I was just reading from, on a 22-13 vote, the Senate approved and sent to the House a couple days ago a measure sought by organized labor as a counterweight to the Janus decision issued by the court that weakened their ability to rig the systems the way they do. And this is going on in the face of utter economic disaster created by the union. So at some point, reality has to enter the process a little bit, I think. Greg, thank you for the call, and thanks for having your daughter along for the ride. It was fun to hear her voice. Dave in Brantford, hi, you're on WTIC.
Hey, yo, Todd. One of our frequent topics of conversation with you is inflation. I wish you'd talk about it more. Page 6, Hartford Current today, wholesale prices jumped 0.6% and startle economists, and that was after a 1% advance in March.
Why would they be startled when we've been warning them?
There's another story about the gas crunch. And I really thought Biden would cause this, but I didn't think it would happen this fast, that he would burn down the American currency. And you got to say, James would be good for this. When you put money in people's hands and no increase in productive capacity accompanies the money that's in people's hands, this is what you get. Everyone wants to buy products that simply aren't available in enough supply to use up the money. It's all Biden's fault and the progressive kookies. Your usual guest at this hour is not here to defend herself.
Yeah, I don't know where she is.
That SEIU, 1099 and 1199, folks, that is the most communist union that we've got running in
Absolutely.
Connecticut.
So they're probably off having a victory party.
Probably. Hey, Todd, you got an old mother, I don't know. That $20 to $30 an hour they want those professional nurses to get, you just think about paying an 8-hour shift for your mother of a professional nurse to watch over her.
More inflation while you're on the subject.
God, is that ugly to think about.
It
Thanks,
is.
Joe. Bye.
Thank you, Dave. 860-522-9842. They are the enemy. The government is the enemy. The political parties are the enemy. The Democratic Party in particular is the enemy. because it's all about system rigging. Yes, wholesale prices jump 0.6%, startle economists. Economists are startled. Wholesale prices driven by escalating costs for services and food jumped 0.6% in April, surprising economists and providing more evidence that inflation pressures are starting to mount with the country emerging from a recession brought on by the pandemic. The increase in the producer price index, which measures inflationary pressures before they reach consumers, was double the 0.3% gain that economists had been expecting. The increase, reported Thursday by the Labor Department, followed a 1% advance in March. Is it possible that Joe Biden orchestrated all this? Is it possible that Democrats, even though they work hard and they're very skilled at destroying things, is it possible they destroyed that much this quickly, that there won't be a correction next month? Well, there is the gas crunch. There is the shutdown of the gas pipeline that only was concluded by paying a $5 million chunk of extortion money. But this is what happens. You know, often people will say, oh, this is never going to change. Oh, we can never win again. Oh, nothing good will ever happen. America's finished. And what normally takes place is this kind of swinging of the pendulum. The radicals rise up. The radicals get their chance to elect a moderate centrist president who turns out to be a radical because that's how politics works. And he pursues his radicalism, and Republicans, because there was just a big election that they lost, they go along with the scam and help the Democrats get the evil thing that they want, more spending, more debt, more deficits. Who knew it was going to happen this quickly? Well, that's how the karma of politics sometimes works. 860-522-9842. These things do happen. We've got the rant line coming up in 10 or 15 minutes. We'll take some phone calls before then. And we will also, yes, you want the rant line number? Okay. 860-751-4698. Call and record your rant now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.